First of all, we're going to start today with a question, a simple question. We just sang all these beautiful songs, and they're just songs unless you mean them.
Right.
They're just songs unless you live them.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, do you love Jesus?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Hey, man, I mean, he gave you the breath you breathe. He gave you everything you have. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to have you do something then. Those of you who do, I want you to take just a minute. Remember, this is personal. I want you to write down, if you have an implement and something to write on, I want you to write down if you love Jesus. If you don't, leave it alone. But if you love Jesus, I want you to write down why. I'm actually going to give you a minute or two to write down why you love Jesus. Why do you love Jesus? That's the question on the table. Why do you love him? And there's a reason why I'm having you do this. And just so you know, this is just for you. You're not going to pass it up here to me. This is about you and your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Why do you love Jesus? Amen. And as you write it down, I'm going to tell you the reason why it's important to write this down is because reasons matter. The reason why you love someone affects how you show it. The reason why you love someone affects how you show it. You love people for various reasons, and therefore you show it a certain way. Well, the same thing is true between you and God. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you've had a chance to write down your reasons why you love Jesus. You're going to review this later. This is not something you're going to focus on during the message, but after you've heard it, you're going to go back to your reasons why you love Jesus and see what effect it might be having on how or whether you actually show it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, last week, we learned how the disciples reacted to Jesus' news to them that he would be going away to a place that they could not come with him. They were very distraught. They were very upset. They were very discouraged because of these words. But he reassured them, like Sister Carmen said. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I'm going away to prepare a room for you, a special, customized place in my Father's house. And if I go through all of that trouble, if I go through all of that effort, if I go through all of that specific thinking and anticipating for you specifically, do you think that I would go through all of that trouble and not come back and get you and take you so that I can see your face and your joy during that great reveal? Do you think, really? Let me reassure you, oh, I'm coming back. So your heart should not be troubled. Because I'm coming back, and I'm coming back for you specifically. But I've got to go away because I've got some things to prepare. I've got some things to make ready. And so now that we have that blessed assurance, the question is, what do we do now? Once Jesus has reassured us and let us know that he's going to take care of things, what do we do now? What do we do in the meantime? And that's what we go to our text for. Amen? Jesus said many things, and he promised many things, but what does Jesus want? We focus on what he promised us and what we can claim and what we can go to him for, and all that's good, but what does he want from us? Amen?
Amen.
The text will be found in the Gospel of John, not far from where you marked it last week. Matter of fact, you might not have to use a different marker. Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. So right near where we were last week. Very, very close. Amen. Again, Jesus has been promising them a lot of things. And the context, just before we get to where we are, he's been telling them, if you ask anything in my name, then I will give it or I will do it. And remember, I told you, he's not a vending machine. He's not your lackey. He's not your waiter or waitress. So don't think you can just say any old thing and just slap a Jesus on it and it's going to happen. That's not going to be the way it is. But we come to this point after he's reassured them that he's coming back for them. Yes, he's coming back for us. And even if you pass away before he comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You got an e-ticket. You're going to be first. But today we're talking about more things that are personal. We're talking about you loving God, you loving Jesus, who's done so much for us. And the question is today, what does he want? I hope it matters to you what he wants. So let's go to the text. Verse 15 of chapter 14. And let's read the first few words together. If you love me. We can stop right there. If you love me. Now, who's talking? Jesus. Who's speaking? Jesus. And he's saying to the disciples and by extension to us, if you love me. Now, that's a loaded question. Have you ever said that to someone? If you love me, dot, 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 dot. It's a very loaded question. As a matter of fact, if you're with the wrong one and they don't have your interest at heart and they're selfish, they'll say, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love me, you'll do that. And some of you all have fallen for the trick. But this is Jesus talking. And he says, if you love me. Now, how many of you said you loved him earlier when I said, do you love Jesus? But he's saying, if you've decided that you love him, what does he tell us here in this text that he wants from us? Keep my commandments. Now, this does not mean just the Ten Commandments, but that would do. He's telling them, he's talking to his disciples, he's been with them for 3 years, and he's telling them, if you love me, what I want from you is obedience. If you love me. Now, you may have your own list of if you love me, then do this and that and the other. If you love me, then you'll listen to me when I'm talking. If you love me, then you won't mess around. If you love me, you'll be gentle. If you love me, you'll pay the bills. If you love me. But this is our Lord and our Savior. And he's telling you and he's telling me, if you love me, then keep my commandments. This is Jesus talking. Let's go to this word keep. This is important because you imagine that he's saying, well, if you love me, then do this or don't do this. If you love me, do this or don't do that. Well, that's true. But he's saying much more when he says this. Remember, this is personal. He says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. This word keep is important. This word keep in the Greek is very, very interesting. It's very similar, pretty much identical in meaning to the word, the Hebrew word that Cain used when God came to Cain after he had killed his brother. And he said, Cain, where is your brother Abel? And what did Cain say? He says, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, am I his protector? Am I his preserver? Am I the one that's supposed to be keeping watch over him, guarding him? Am I my brother's keeper? Is he in my pocket? So he sarcastically said to God. And so this is the word keep that we are talking about. It means to watch over and to guard. And so Jesus does expect us to do what he says, but it's more than that. in order to watch over or to guard or to protect or preserve something or someone. You have to not let it out of your sight. That sounds like some parents, doesn't it? You have to try to stay real close to them, right? And it's all because that thing is important. He says, keep my commandments. He says, the words that come out of my mouth, I want you to keep them close. The words that come out of my mouth, I want you to value. The words that come out of my mouth, I want you to incorporate into your heart. I want you to be obedient. But I want you to do it because my words, my instructions, my commands matter to you. I want my words, my instructions, my commands to matter to you because I mean that much to you. I want you to be obedient, but I want you to be obedient for the right reasons. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I've told you to do. If you love me, if I've told you to stay away, stay away. If you love me, just do what I've told you to do. If you love me. Now, if you don't, that's a whole other thing, and he'll cover that too. But if you love me, do you love Jesus? Amen. Then keep his commandments. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Then do what he said. Do you love Jesus? Amen. He's not asking for much, and yet he is. He's asking for all of you. Where did you get you from him? If you love me, keep my commandments. And so therefore, if we love him, then what he says what? Matters. And therefore, because what he says matters, we are obedient. That's the order of things. We love Jesus, and because we love him, therefore what he says matters, just like in our relationships. And that's why we follow through and do those things, right? Because the other person, what they say matters. Now, you know how it is when you're early in a relationship, it's still fresh. You hop to it. You listen. You act on what you hear. And over time, you can take that relationship for granted. The same thing can happen between us and Jesus. He is saying, if you love me, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I want you not to worry. I got this. But while you are here, if you love me, I'm going away. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments even when I'm gone. Now, here's another thing. He wants us to keep his commandments because what he says matters, and therefore because we love him, because we should not be keeping them out of fear. We should be keeping them out of love. Amen? Amen. Now, some of us have lived a life that is driven by fear. Some of us can't even embrace love. Some of us can't even accept love. Some of us can't even recognize love because our relationships have all been based on fear. I obey. I stick with and stay with, right? I'm loyal to. I'm committed to X, Y, and Z, all because I'm worried about what's going to happen if I don't. I'm worried about what they're going to do to me or what's going to happen if I don't. That's living based on fear. Jesus is not looking for that from you. He wants your obedience because of love for him. He wants his words that he's given you to matter. They're for your own good. But we have a way of not doing what's in our own best interest because the enemy plants seeds. Amen? Let's move on to verses 16 and 17, where Jesus continues to say, he says, and that at first he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another advocate, another helper. They chose comforter because they imagined that the disciples needed a little comforting here. He says, that ye may abide or he may abide with you forever. I know you're worried about me leaving, but don't worry. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you another comforter that you don't have to worry about him leaving. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, because he's right here dwelling with you and shall be in you. Now, of course, here he's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. I think we all understand that. And if you didn't, now you know. He goes on to say in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Isn't he so compassionate? But then what does he say? He says, what's the next word? I will come to you. He's going to send you a comforter, but now he says, I come to you. By the time you finish reading this, you're going to understand the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are indeed one. There should be no mistake about it and no confusion about it. But I want you to know a little bit more about this particular verse. We won't dwell on it long in the interest of time. But I will not leave you comfortless. He wasn't thinking about the worry factor. This comfort wasn't just an emotional patch. That word, comfortless. What he's saying here, that word is orphanos. It's where we get our word orphan. He's saying, I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you without a covering. I will not leave you without protection. I'm going away, but I'm coming back before I come back. Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit that's going to be there to take care of you, to look out for you, to bring things to your remembrance, and we'll see that later. Amen? Amen. So many things should be clear as Jesus lets them know he's going to come back for them, but what he wants from us is obedience. For the right reasons. Did you get that? Now let's focus on verse 21 here. Because notice he's going to repeat himself here. Because he means what he is saying. He says in verse 21, he that hath, that means possesses my commandments. The ones that I've told about my character. The ones that I've told what I want. I've told you my heart. You now know me. You now what I want you to know what I want you to do and not do. He that keepeth my commandments, or hath my commandments, and what? Keepeth them, guards them, values them, keeps them close to him, he it is that loves me. So Jesus looks out and he's not fooled by any of our fake, you know, front. He's not fooled by our religion. He knows who loves him, and that is the person who keeps his commandments. His words matter. When you go against his word, it actually hurts you. If you've gotten to the point to where you can sin and it not bother you, you don't love that person. If you can go around and be places you ain't supposed to be and not with the one you're supposed to be with and it don't feel anything, you don't love him. So Jesus knows who loves him, and he's made it clear. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So he has no doubts. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. This is where it gets all intertwined. You, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He that loveth me shall be loved by the Father. How do you get loved by the Father? Love Jesus. How do you show you love Jesus? By obeying him. For the right reasons. So that those that love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Look how it's intertwined. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want Jesus to manifest himself in your life? Try loving him. If you love him, then show it. Understand how this is so intertwined, but this is just a setup. I want you to first understand that he's repeated himself. What does he want from you? He wants your love. How do you show it? By being obedient for the right reasons. If you're doing it for some other reason, then that's not a reflection of your love for him. Amen? And so Jesus here repeats himself, but he adds something on it. He's saying obedience impacts your relationship with him. And in addition, he's saying that it also affects your relationship with God. It reflects your relationship with him, and it also affects your relationship with him. Amen?
Amen.
But now we're going to go to verse 22, because this is very, very interesting. Jesus has now repeated himself, but he's also reminded you or let you know that your obedience reflects the love that you have for him. So if you're not obedient, don't say you love him. But it also, if you're obedient or when you're obedient, it has an impact on the Father and the Son as it pertains to you. He says, I will love you and the Father will love you and will manifest myself to that man. But now let's look at verses 22 and 23. Very, very interesting, where Judas, not Judas Iscariot, not the traitor, the other Judas. Judas says to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? In other words, what kind of Jedi mind trick will allow us to see you, but the world can't see you? Is it some secret decoder ring? I mean, this is, Jesus has said all of this stuff. He's talking about, I want you to obey me as a reflection of your love for me. I'm going to send you a comforter. And when you show your love for me, the Father's going to love you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. But what does Judas get out of all that? What does he hear? The same thing happens with sermons. What he heard was, you can see me, but the world can't see me. That's what he got out. That's what he chose to focus on. But what's even more interesting is Jesus' response. Amen? Now, he says, how are we going to see you, but the rest of the world cannot see you? Here's Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said, read it out loud with me. If a man love me, he will keep my words. We'll stop there. Now, he's asking, how are you going to manifest yourself to me, but the world can't see you? Jesus' answer is, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. Is he repeating himself? Yeah. So therefore, does he mean it? Yeah. He wants us to be obedient as a reflection of our love for him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. And what does he say after that? We will come unto him, the Son and the Father. And you know the Holy Ghost is coming, so you don't have to worry about the manifestation of God. They are all one. We will come to him and make our abode with him. So how is it that you're going to be manifested, Jesus is going to be manifested to you and not to the world? Because if a man loves me, then he's going to keep my words. He's going to be obedient. And then the Father's going to love him. And then me and the Father, wrapped up all in the Holy Ghost, are going to come and make our abode with him. The point here is he's repeating himself because he means what he says. He's not going to answer it the way you want it answered. Hopefully you see now that there's a distinction that he's making, those that love him and those that don't. Which camp are you in? Those that love him value his words. Those that value his words, therefore, do what he says. And those that do what he says now get to have God's abode with them. So that's how he manifests himself to you and not to the world, because the world is full of those folks that don't love him, that don't do his words, don't obey them. Which one are you? What good does it say that you carry a patch that says, I'm one of Jesus' people, but you don't do what he says? What distinction now, therefore, is there between you and the world? If you rock and roll the way the world rocks and rolls, then you're loyal to the world. You're committed to the world. So Jesus looks out and says, I know who loves me. You know how I can tell? They're doing what I said. And they're doing what I said because why? Because they love me. Amen? Amen. Verse 24, he that loveth me not. So there is another category. He that does not love me, how do we qualify him? He keepeth not my sayings. I hope that doesn't describe us. He that does not love me does not guard my words with care. He does not bring my words close to him and keep a close eye on it. He that doesn't love me, I can say what I need to say, and they can say maybe later. He that doesn't love me can go against my words and really not feel anything by it. He that doesn't love me, doesn't care if I'm hurt. He that doesn't love me keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, Jesus is saying, but the Father's which sent me. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present, because he's going to go away. But the Comforter, the Helper, the Protector, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He's going to bring all that stuff back to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen? Amen? And so you learn here that the Holy Spirit is just not just some force that allows you to work miracles. That's not all that it is. Amen?
Amen.
It's also the power to do God's will in your life. Amen. And it's a reminder to us that he did not leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us without a covering. That word is parakletos. It's a helper, an advocate that he left here for us. And yes, if you need it, a comforter. And so Jesus has made it very, very clear. Let's show our love for Christ by caring about what he has to say.
Amen.
Let's show our love for Christ by being obedient, because it is indeed better than sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's the main message God has for you. Is that complicated? If you love me, I want you to keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I told you to do. If you love me, the more you love me, the faster you obey. The more you love me, the more you'll grit your teeth and pray to me and pray for help in those moments that you are tempted to do what you're not supposed to do.
Amen.
Tempted to go where you're not supposed to go. Tempted to hold on to the ones you're not supposed to hold on to. Tempted to worry about the outcome when I'm in control. Tempted to lean to your own understanding, tempted to lean to the boss and your job instead of me that gave you the job.
Amen.
Tempted to try to curry favor in the wrong ways instead of letting me fight the battle. And so before I close, I'm just going to share a quick little nugget for you that relates to spiritual warfare and how it relates to obedience. So this is important for you. You're all leaders, right?
Amen.
You're still all in the army of the Lord, right?
Amen.
And so in order to be what you're supposed to be, you need to know how to fight the battle. And so there's something very important about obedience as it pertains to spiritual warfare. If you lack obedience, I want you to get into your mind that thing that you know is a constant companion, that thing that you know you're not supposed to do. And maybe you'll go a week without doing it, maybe two, but you know you go and do it and you know it's like, man, talking about that thing. I want you to get that in your mind, that you know that the Lord has told you, don't do that. That's what I want you to have in your mind. That thing, that place, that person, whatever it is. When you fail to obey in that area, you often believe that you've gotten away with it, because you do that thing and nothing happens right away. You're with that person and nobody finds out, or you don't get a disease. You do that thing and you don't feel any immediate effect. Oh, you might maybe feel a little guilty temporarily, but at the moment, it's worth it to you Because you're not really caring about what Jesus said. You're not really loving him right now. But when you do that thing, I'm here to tell you from a spiritual warfare standpoint, when you do that thing, that disobedience lowers the hedge of protection against you. And the reason you haven't connected the dots is because the pain that comes in your life, and it comes swiftly, but it comes in another area. I need you to understand. There are times you're going along, and suddenly out of nowhere comes an attack in a part of your life that you thought was okay. You thought you had it down. You have no idea why work is crazy. All of a sudden, all kinds of attacks. Why your relationship falls apart. Why your money is all of a sudden funny. You've been doing all of the busy plan. Why? I want you to know it's often that thing that you think you're getting away with lowers the hedge, and bam, all of a sudden, right upside your head. I'm trying to tell you that you should be loving Jesus. You should be obeying out of love. I'm just trying to tell you that obedience is not just a reflection of your love for Christ. It's also a very powerful spiritual warfare tool. It doesn't mean everything's going to go your way, because God allows challenges to come your way. But you don't want them knocks in the head that come from the hedge being lowered because you did it. You're going to deal with some stuff, but you want to deal with it with the hedge up. You only want the hedge to go down, because God knows you're going to come through like Job and show glory to his name. You don't want it lowered because you're over here doing the little tiddlywink thing. You have no idea. The hedge is lowered right behind you. Bam, right upside your head. Where'd that come from? You did it. You lowered that hedge. You were with that one. Doing that thing, doing that drug, whatever it is that creates that spiritual portal for attack. You got some more money the wrong way. You mistreated that person thinking you were getting away with it. That thing that God told you not to do. You insist on doing it. And it doesn't help. You can go a couple of months not doing that thing, and then you do it, bam, right upside the head. You think if you go for a while, it's not so bad. If you have abstinence from it for a while, it's not so bad. No, the more you stick to obedience in that area, the stronger your hedge gets. The Satan will hate that. So he'll come at you. But practice makes perfect in this regard. So every time, I want you to understand, every time that thing is in your face, every time you have the guts and the will to walk on past it and not look and not get tempted and not get sucked in, every time you do it, you're saving yourself a hit on the back of your head. You're saving yourself a tremendous amount of turmoil in your life that comes and you wonder where it came from. So we're talking today about obedience. We're talking today about love. We're talking today about how one thing affects the other and how it manifests itself in your relationship with Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So obedience to Christ is to be out of love and not fear. But please understand that obedience is always better than sacrifice, and it is a very, very powerful weapon. Let's give a load of hand praise. Amen. Amen. It's a simple message. It's not going to have you running the walls and things like that. But guess what? I just told you what Jesus said, your Savior, that he wants from you. I mean, really, what could be more important? Simple message, not complicated. But your obedience is all he's asking for. If he told you to feed some folks, then feed some folks. But you can't feed your folks and get a pass on the stuff you're doing that you ain't supposed to be doing. Yeah, you can't give money to get out of what you're really supposed to be doing somewhere else, the dirt you've done. And you can't go feed folks and visit folks and have that cover up the fact that you're not giving them what you're supposed to be giving them either. If you're holding on to them ends, just trying to tell you, you can't compensate for it in them other ways. Now, if you don't have the ends and you give what you have, then you're like the widow with the mite, right? But so if you love the Lord, we can sing all the beautiful songs. But what does he want from you? What does Jesus want from you? And when you are obedient, that is a reflection of what?
Love.
For Jesus.